Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to It's Just Life podcast, the mother-daughter podcast where we talk about life and all of its ups and downs here on crazy planet Earth. I'm Karen, the mom, and I'm glad you're here with us today. This is episode number 29 today.
Hi, everybody. This is Gia, the daughter of the duo, and it's great to be back on our podcast. We actually haven't recorded for quite a while now. We batch recorded several before my mom took a trip to France, and she's been gone for like a month, I think. And she's back. So we're so excited that you're back in town and we're back on the podcast. So do you want to give us a little recap of your trip to France, Mom?
Yeah, for sure. It was really amazing and wonderful. And we started the trip by spending a couple of nights in Iceland, Reykjavik, Iceland, which was very cool. What a fascinating country it is. So I really enjoyed that. Then we went to Paris and saw all the sights there, but also visited Normandy, because we were retracing some of my dad's footsteps from World War II, and he was in the Battle of Normandy, so I wanted to visit Omaha Beach where my dad landed, and we heard the whole history of the Battle of Normandy and D-Day, and it was really powerful, so powerful to be there on the beach where that first day of the battle, 2,000 soldiers were killed in the battle, and it was kind of profound and overwhelming to see it, you know, and what a sacrifice of life it took in all the battles of World War II in order to maintain peace in the world, I mean, to recapture peace. So it was very powerful. And so we also visited the, there's an American cemetery where 9,000 American soldiers are buried. We saw that as well. Then we went to Provence for a week and rented a car and traveled around to these amazing little villages in Provence that were just, it was just incredible. I can't even say enough about how much fun it was and how beautiful it was and amazing food, because Provence is in the sunny part of France and they grow tons of vegetables and fruit, and every place we went, we had just the best salads and side dishes of vegetables that were all like freshly grown in the region. So that was really awesome. And then we went back to Paris. We visited the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, which is a huge 200-year-old cemetery, and that actually turned out to be really fascinating as well. So the whole trip was it was wonderful. I learned so much about history. I felt like I really got into the feel of things in France a little bit better, like what it feels like to live there. And it was just a really great trip. So, but I'm glad to be home, and I'm glad to be back on the phone with you, Gia, because I missed you a lot.
I know, I missed you too, and I'm glad that your trip was so amazing. I feel like while you were gone, there was like transformation for both of us, and just in the world we're in, so much is happening lately in many different ways. So much is going on. So, I definitely had some interesting transformations while you were gone as well, with my career and new projects I'm working on. I'm going to be teaching a yoga retreat in Costa Rica this winter from December 12th to the 18th. So I'm getting ready for that. And I am in a new relationship that I'm incredibly excited about. And yeah, life is just evolving, and I'm so grateful to be here on the phone with you.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, we batched recorded a podcast before I left so that the podcast would keep playing every week, and I did the same with my End of Life University podcast, and then I had all these things set up, so I actually got home and was completely caught up on all the work that I needed up to that point, which was kind of amazing that I was able to prepare before I left, so I came home and didn't feel behind, except, as you said, that things are changing, like the world is changing. And of course, here in the U.S., we're in the middle of this election cycle, which has been really chaotic and crazy in so many ways, but will soon be coming to an end. And I'm sure we're all really relieved about that, so we can move on and move past this time of upset and disruption that's going on all around us.
Yeah, it's been such a weird transition out of President Obama's term and into the next phase, which is all very uncertain. And we are actually going to get into a little bit about, not really the politics of it, but something that one of our presidential candidates said. Today in the podcast, we're going to be talking about the empowering rise of the divine feminine on our planet and how we're responding to that. And that has something to do with what Donald Trump said in a debate. But before we start talking about that, we wanted to share, every podcast, we try to share something positive that we hear in the news, something that we see in the world around us, just to bring more attention and light to the beautiful, amazing, and loving things happening in the world. So you had something for us today, right, Mom?
Yeah, and this is definitely something positive that took place in the month of October, which was a women, and it follows our theme today. It was a women's march for peace that took place. Thousands of Israeli and Palestinian women marched for peace between their nations, and over a period of 2 weeks. So they marched in a number of different areas. As it ended, 5,000 women gathered in Jerusalem at the end. They were drumming, they were singing and dancing together. And so these were women who come from national groups that have hatred for one another. But the women came together and they said, we cannot count on men to create peace. We have to do it ourselves. And the women said, you know, we don't need guns. We don't need wars. We don't need battles. We also don't even need a plan for peace. We need peace. And we need to teach men how to make peace and be at peace with one another. It was super powerful to see videos of these women, like, all hugging each other and dancing together and coming together. And I feel like this is the rise of the divine feminine, and it's happening in other parts of the world as well. And women saying, wait, we're not going to be led into wars and into hatred and destruction any longer by men. We are going to balance that, and we are going to make peace because we know how to do it. We know about relationships as the divine feminine. We know how to bring people together. We know how to nurture and how to heal. So anyway, that story was so empowering for me. I was really thrilled to read it, and it fits exactly what we wanted to talk about today, which is, what does it mean to be a nasty woman? And it comes from the fact that Donald Trump called Hillary Clinton a nasty woman. And so I've been thinking about that and thinking, is that a term I could embrace for myself? Do I want to think of myself as a nasty woman? And what does that mean?
Yeah, that's such an interesting thought. I didn't watch the debate, but you told me about what he said. And just now when you brought that up, like, could I embrace that word? Could I be a nasty woman? The word, the term actually that came to my mind was witchy woman. Like, nasty somehow reminds me of a powerful witch, which also has a negative connotation in our society, you know, ever since the days of, you know, Salem and trying to abolish the divine feminine magic that women were bringing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of ingrained in us, in our female ancestry, that shame of being a nasty, witchy woman. I sort of like the term, though. I don't really refer to myself as a witch, but I really like the idea of magic, and I really like being an empowered female and using my feminine energy as power. And I feel like that's something I've always done somewhat naturally. is to tap into that well of emotion and sexuality and sensuality and being a really empowered female. And that can be kind of witchy. I mean, I think we do hold the power over the masculine in that way that they're sort of subject to. They're just sort of subject to our magic. And I embrace that. And while nasty has a really gross kind of connotation and feeling to it, maybe it's something where we can sort of flip our hair in the wind and be like, yeah, I'm nasty and witchy.
Well, and actually, you know, at first I rejected the term nasty and thought, I don't think I could ever refer to myself in that way. But I'm a word person. I love words. I love dictionaries. So, of course, I had to go look up nasty and find out the derivation of the word. Like, where did that word come from and what was the original meaning of the root word? And I found out that it comes from a Dutch word that means dirty like a bird's nest. And suddenly that just opened up all kinds of possibilities for me because like that is a perfect description of the divine feminine. It's dirty. It's down to earth. It's giving birth. It's bringing life up out of the soil. It's like bringing a lotus blossom out of the mud and making a nest where life can be nurtured and created out of dirt and mud and sticks and dead grass. But that dirty, nasty nest becomes the place where new life is nurtured and cared for. And so suddenly I realized, yeah, I like that. I actually, now I can embrace that word and feel like that actually is what we need right now in our society. More of that nurturing and creativity, more of the magic that you described, and more of the feminine power. And so I think I love the fact that I'm seeing coffee mugs that say nasty woman and t-shirts, and I'm seeing it posted more and more often in social media. You know, women are embracing it and saying, yes, that is what I am. And Gia, I love your image of tossing your hair in the wind. Like, you bet.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we have Trump to thank for, you know, for saying that, because the response was that we embraced it. We took that to be our power.
The other thing about the divine feminine that relates to that idea of like the nest, you know, and being nasty is I think feminine energy is so willing to be dark and to be dirty and to be emotional and to be out of control and wild, because it's kind of the dark void that holds space for all the emotion and the pain in the world. And it's something that when we had a really patriarchal and masculine energy society, people always shied away from that. Like, oh, we want to be in control of our emotions, and we want to have a direction and a focus and a plan. And like, there's no room for this wild, witchy, nasty feminine that is so emotional and so uncontrollable. But I think now we're entering a time where it's so important to allow our emotions and our darkness to come into the light so that we can be more integrated and more whole in our energy and as a society, because we've been ignoring that darkness for too long.
And that's such a good point that actually, if you look what's happening all around us in society, the dirty laundry is being aired. You know, the sexual abuse is being exposed. Childhood abuse is being exposed, and it's not being tolerated any longer. Even in the NFL, football players who were committing domestic violence against their spouses, it's coming out. Everyone knows it, and they're losing their jobs because of it. It's not being kept hidden any longer. And so it's as if it's the darkness is opening up, and we're able to see what's been hiding in the shadows so that we can finally heal it. We can heal the violence and the pain and work with the emotions that have been suppressed for such a long time.
Yeah, and maybe Trump's comment is just representative of the fear from maybe the masculine side of what it's like to really empower the feminine
and that rejection of like the innately feminine, you know, emotion. I don't know exactly what Hillary's emotional state was like when she said whatever she said that made him call her nasty, but I know that she's gotten a lot of flack for, like, I don't know, people call her a bitch. I don't know, just because if she's passionate and she's strong, but she's a woman, people see that as inappropriate emotion. But it's something we need to be willing to look at. We all have that feminine energy inside. We all have that emotion that needs to be honored and listened to. So maybe Trump's comment was just the masculine rejection of that emotion.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think his comment actually has been really helpful, as you said, because it's kind of galvanized women to say, wait a second, this is who I am and who I want to be. I'm not going to be meek and quiet and sit back and say nothing and put the dinner on the table at exactly 6 p.m. or, whatever is being demanded of me. I have ideas. I have power. I have creativity within me, and I'm going to bring it to the world. I'm going to share it with others. And for me, as an older woman now, because of the era in which I grew up, I mean, I went into medicine, which was totally a male-dominated profession when I went into medicine. And so I had the experience of being one of a few women in my medical school class. For 1 year of my residency, I was the only woman in the entire residency program. And so I had the experience of being told that I needed to behave like a man in order to be accepted, that the more I could act like men acted, the more I could be accepted. But that was very confusing for me at the time, to understand, why can't I just be me and who I am? So I've gone through this whole evolution throughout my career and as I've gotten older of discovering and empowering my feminine side, and to be more vocal and to speak out. And that's why for me, it took courage to actually suggest this topic for our podcast and to actually talk about it today. It took some courage for me, like, uh-oh, what will people think if we bring this up? I don't know. But for you, Gia, you're kind of in a completely different world now.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that in your training as a doctor, they encouraged you to be a masculine type of doctor. And it made me think that a lot of times, when in the past, 20, 30 years, when women have tried to be empowered, it's been in a masculine way. And I think women have taken on their power in a way that a man would. And I know that that's not exactly it. We need to be empowered in our feminine way. So I'm wondering, what does that look like as a doctor, do you think, Mom? Like, what does an empowered feminine energy doctor, whether a male or a female, but a doctor who has a strong feminine energy side, what does that look like in your profession?
Well, for me, I can say, I started medical school day one with this awareness and knowledge that love is a healing force. And that, I believe, came very much from my feminine side, but immediately I discovered that way of thinking was not acceptable whatsoever. And I knew within me that forming relationships with patients, that it would be the relationship between the doctor and the patient that where the healing bond could take place. And that's feminine, to be able to have some sort of a relationship and interconnectivity where energy is exchanged, that is how healing would take place. But medicine was totally intellectual, academic, and rational, totally in the head, not in the heart. So I had to operate from my head all the time and my intellect in front of other students and other doctors and in training. But for me, it was the relationship and it was my heart that made the difference. And that was my feminine side, but I had to hide it all the time. So I see more and more women in medicine now. I even see more and more men who are embracing their feminine side more and forming relationships with patients and connecting in a heart space way with patients through caring and compassion and listening, deep listening. So to me, those are the feminine attributes of healing. And I see it, I see that all changing right now in medicine.
Yeah, I love that. And I have known you my whole life, so I can say that you're an amazing doctor, and you have been so loved for the way that you practice medicine. And I also have a dad who's a doctor, and he's a lot more of a masculine doctor as a man, but also just in his personality. And I remember, you know, growing up, hearing you talk about how you would interact with patients. And I think a lot of what you did was, like you said, just sit back and listen and receive the other person and not necessarily try to fix them. That's such a masculine energy thing to do, to fix, to control, to, you know, put effort into changing something. And I think what your gift has been as a doctor is that you held space for other people to just be and to be emotional and cry if they needed, and you just sort of held them and helped them feel loved. And that could have been more healing in the long run than any kind of pill they could have taken or procedure that could have been done. And that, you know, the Western medicine model is so masculine in that way, like, oh, here's a fix-it pill, here's a surgery you should get, here's a scientific way of doing it. But you know, whether you felt able to, like you were embraced for being a more feminine energy doctor or not, you've always been good at that part of being the feminine receptive energy that's just there to listen and just hold space and be loving. And I love that you say that that's really where the healing takes place. It's in the connection with the other person's heart. So I hope that, you know, more doctors of both genders are embracing the feminine energy in their practice.
Yeah, I think that it's happening gradually and slowly, though at the same time we're advancing in technology and knowledge. So definitely there's still a lot of intellectualism and a lot of head-based medicine going on. And for me in the past, you know, I had to hide what I knew. I think I was hiding my feminine wisdom and feminine side from my colleagues. I could never talk about it. I could never let the show that I was listening to patients. I was connecting to them. I was caring about them. I could not let that show. I had to hide it. And that was very painful to me for a long time. But I'm actually able to go now to some medical meetings and talk a little bit about that and talk about how important it is that we listen and that we connect through the heart with our patients. And I find more and more doctors willing to listen to it.
That's so cool. I'm glad that you're here to show an example. and I'm wondering, like, in what ways in society, as this divine feminine energy is rising, in what ways can we become empowered, but in a feminine way? Because I was saying earlier, I think that the women's rights movement, or even the feminist movement, has been largely focused on responding to the masculine in a masculine way. It's just women acting like men, sort of. Like, let's be strong, let's be tough, let's be dominant. And so do you have any ideas for how we as women can embrace our power, but coming from a feminine place?
Well, I'm going back to the something positive that I shared, and those women, the Israeli and Palestinian women who decided we are building bridges between us instead of the walls that the men in our society have created. We are building love and respect and caring for one another instead of hatred and mistrust. And so I was thinking of how much I loved the idea of these women drumming together and singing songs and dancing together. Like, wow, that to me, that's like the wild feminine energy. I could just see arising. And that creativity through music and dance, I think that brings people together, and it erases some of the walls that are between us when we can use that wild feminine energy to bring more and more people into our nest and into our circle and embrace more and more diverse people, so that we're including as many people as we can in this nest we're creating.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm seeing more and more like women's circles coming together for ceremony and chanting and empowering ourselves. And I think for me in my life, the way that I have found power in my feminine essence is through vulnerability, which is something we talked about in a previous podcast, that it's not that you get strong enough to be vulnerable, it's that you get vulnerable enough to be strong. And so I think that's something that naturally comes with the feminine, the divine feminine energy, is this vulnerability and ability to be so real, so deep, so genuine, so emotional. And it's kind of through emotion that I have really gained my power, and being willing to be emotional and being willing to be present with my deep emotions. Because in a way, like, the masculine would try to control emotion. The masculine would want to suppress emotion and rationalize it. But the wild vulnerability of the divine feminine is beyond the control of the masculine. So that really is so powerful to embrace. Like, that's where a lot of power comes from, because the masculine knows, like, hey, I can't control that. Once the emotion, once the vulnerability is expressed, it's beyond this controlled way of living and interacting with others. So I think I have found some great feminine power in being willing to be vulnerable with myself and others.
Yes, and we did have a long talk about that, how I remember that I said, I feel I have to be strong enough to be vulnerable, and you pointed out to me that it's the opposite. I have to be vulnerable enough to let my strength show. And that, in fact, I have all the strength I need. It's within me. I've just been trained to hide it and suppress it. And so once I open up and face up to my fear of being as nasty as I am meant to be as a woman, then I will be able to I'll be able to show my strength and be vulnerable at the same time and manifest both of those.
And maybe just like we've done with this comment about Hillary being a nasty woman, it seems like women have embraced the term nasty now. You know, maybe we start embracing all those terms that point to our wicked divine feminine power. You know, like, oh, she's a bitch, she's a slut. You know, that's really just pointing to an insecurity of our power, of our sexual power, of our energetic power, our emotional power. And maybe, you know, instead of shying away from those terms, we start embracing them and seeing how powerful they really are, and turning it around and saying, like, yeah, I am wicked. I'm a witch. Like, get out of my way.
Like, look at my hair blowing in the wind. I can do anything.
Yeah, totally.
Well, it is a really fascinating time. It feels to me that energy is shifting really rapidly in the direction of the feminine. And so I'm just seeing in the news media women rising up all over, talking about harassment, talking about abuse, talking about how they've been mistreated, and saying, I won't tolerate that anymore. I won't stand for that. And so that alone represents the power rising up, that there's no longer fear of telling the truth and talking about what has taken place in the past.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking the truth is so important, and especially like in politics, we get hardly any truth in the news and the media. It's so hard to know what the truth is. And so maybe we can just turn inward and find our own truth and be really committed to speaking and honoring our own truth in hopes that that will start to evolve the truth being spoken in our society.
Yes, exactly. And that goes back to our conversation about finding your own guidance and learning to trust the guidance that's within instead of looking outward externally for someone else to tell you what to do or how to think.
Yeah, totally. It takes a lot of trust to start to embrace your own truth and live by it without anyone else's approval, without anyone else's suggestion or advice. But I think that's what we're all here to do, is to bring our own unique version of the truth and our own light to every situation and to the planet, because we're all just a small piece of the whole. And if any one of us isn't who we're really here to be and who we really are deep down, then we're missing that puzzle piece. So it's all of our duties and our honor to be so uniquely and genuinely us without apology and with total truth and with total vulnerability.
Exactly. And to have the courage to continue to shine, even though others might try to hide our light. Others might try to disparage us and try to force us to go back in hiding, but to continue to have the courage to shine no matter what.
And I think we can trust that if somebody is trying to dim our light, it's their own fear of their light. They wouldn't need to dim your light if it didn't remind them of their own and that they're afraid to unveil. So it's important to not take that personally. If somebody else is intimidated or threatened by your light, know that that is their issue and that you are brilliant and still encouraged to just keep shining and just keep being exactly who you are.
Yeah, such a good point. So I think we can proudly say that we are nasty women. We're helping create the nests where a new consciousness has been birthed and is going to be nurtured and be rising up. And it's all a dirty, messy process. New growth, new life. It's messy, and that's what the divine feminine is here to manage the mess and to be comfortable with it and comfortable with the darkness, as you said. So I, for one, am going to embrace the term and celebrate the idea that that's who I am. I am a nasty, wicked woman, and more power to all of us.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to start using it now. But it just occurred to me, how can men view this uprising of the divine feminine, and how can men embrace the divine feminine within them?
And that's a really good point. That's part of the key of all of this, is that women have to allow their own divine feminine to arise, and men have to learn how to embrace the feminine within themselves. So, yeah, the question is, can we help men with their struggle over accepting the feminine?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just by holding that space, and holding our hearts open to connect with men, maybe that's the way we guide them into their own feminine essence, is through relationship, through connection, through the heart, through emotion. Maybe they will feel safe enough to experience their own divine feminine.
Yeah, by loving them as our wild feminine selves, so that they can experience that for the first time, because men also have had to repress the feminine within themselves. Men have not had the freedom to even experience or acknowledge that they have any sort of femininity within them. And so maybe you're right, with our unconditional love, we can support them to re-embrace that missing part of themselves.
Yeah, totally. Well, this has been a cool conversation, and we support all you nasty women out there in just being true to who you are, speaking your truth, being vulnerable and open and ushering in this new wave of consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us here on the It's Just Life podcast. We're glad you took time out to listen in on our conversation today.
Yeah, check out our show notes if you want to stay connected with us. You can look at our websites and check out what we offer. My mom's an author. She's written some amazing books and has some courses online as well. And I'm a musician, singer-songwriter, as well as a meditation and yoga teacher. So check out our websites at itsjustlifepodcast.com and make sure you write us a review if you like our podcast. Go on iTunes and write us a review so that other people can also enjoy our podcast.
Yeah, and tune in every Friday for a new episode. And until next week, we'll say goodbye and take care.
Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.